At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle lesson is from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 through 25. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days," declares the Lord, "I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds." Then he adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." When there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is the word of the Lord.
Please rise. And as he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished?" And Jesus began to say to them, "See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. These are but the beginning of the birth pains. But be on your guard, for they will deliver you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them. And the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. And when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. And brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. That's one of those gospels that doesn't sound much like a gospel lesson. You know, I want to comment on our Old Testament lesson first that Marty read from Daniel chapter 12. Daniel was born in Jerusalem around 620 BC. He became a teenage prisoner of war captured by the Babylonians who were fighting to conquer Jerusalem. He was taken from Jerusalem to Babylon, a city on the Euphrates River, in what is now modern-day Iraq. Being intelligent and well-educated, Daniel was selected for special service in the court of King Nebuchadnezzar. Like Joseph in the book of Genesis, Daniel made a name for himself as an interpreter of dreams and as a prophet. The passage we read at the beginning of Daniel chapter 12 is the end of a long prophecy. And this last part of the prophecy concerns itself with the end of the world. Here's why I bring it up. Whenever we read descriptions of the end of the world, I think most of us read with a high degree of skepticism. How can we know with any certainty what will happen at the end of the world, or when the end of the world will be? You know, a lot of you remember this. 11 years ago in 2010, a Christian radio preacher named Harold Camping, who'd had a radio program out of California for years and years, prophesied that a rapture would take place on May 21st, 2011. And then the end of the world would occur 5 months later on October 21st, 2011. This was the second time he'd attempted this. When the world failed to end the first time he prophesied it would, in 1994, he just recalculated. And this time he was sure. Thousands of people believed Harold Camping, despite his track record. His radio program was broadcast on a network of 150 stations across the United States and was broadcast overseas also. Thousands of his listeners gathered in groups on May 21st, 2011, anticipating the end. But Harold Camping was wrong. Again, nothing happened. And he got his information straight from the Bible. He interpreted it differently than we would, but still he based his prediction on biblical passages. So should we believe anything we read in the Bible about the end of the world? Yes, absolutely. But you need to read carefully and accurately. And when Jesus says, "No one knows the day or hour," which is found later in this chapter of Mark and several other places in Scripture, when Jesus says, "No one knows the day or the hour," believe it. No one knows. In our gospel lesson from Mark 13, Jesus prophesies about the immediate future for his apostles. And then he foretells of an important event 40 years away from that point. And finally, he speaks of events years beyond that. This Mark 13 passage takes place just a few days before Jesus was crucified. He was with his disciples in Jerusalem in the temple when one of them remarked, "What wonderful stones and wonderful buildings." Jesus immediately replied, "Yes, but all these beautiful buildings will be destroyed." Later that day, we read, they left the city of Jerusalem and hiked back up on the Mount of Olives right next to the city of Jerusalem, where they spent each night. And from that vantage point on the Mount of Olives, they were looking down on Jerusalem and on the temple there. So Peter and James and John and Andrew, enjoying the view of Jerusalem that was spread out below them, they asked Jesus what he meant when he said that the temple down there would be destroyed, that not one stone would be left upon another. And Jesus replied by describing what was going to happen to them, to the apostles, in the years immediately following his own death. There will be confusion and persecution. They will deliver you over to councils. You will be beaten in synagogues. You will stand before governors and kings for my sake. And all of this, of course, came to pass. It came to pass in the lives of the apostles and in the lives of many early converts from Judaism to Christianity. In fact, it happens today in the Middle East and Africa, among other places. But staying on track here, if we kept reading beyond today's text in Mark chapter 13, Jesus next described how Jerusalem would be destroyed, including the beautiful temple they were looking down upon from the Mount of Olives. It was a horrific description with bone-chilling details. And it all came to pass just as Jesus described in Mark chapter 13 or Luke 21 or Matthew 24. The destruction of Jerusalem that Jesus prophesied came to pass 40 years later, just as Jesus described it, down to every awful detail. We know that because we have a remarkable description and record of the actual event that was written by a Jewish historian named Josephus, who was working for the Roman general Titus, who commanded the Roman army that laid siege to Jerusalem and utterly destroyed it in the year 72 AD, roughly 40 years after this conversation in Mark. They even destroyed the temple. Not one stone was left upon another. By the way, the temple was unnecessary at that point. The temple was the place where animal sacrifices were made for the remission of sin. But we just read, Marty just read in Hebrews, that where there is forgiveness of sin, there is no longer any offering for sin. Jesus was the last and the permanent offering for your sin. But the first point I want to make is that when Jesus prophesied about something that would happen 40 years after his death, the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, it actually happened. In fact, it happened exactly as Jesus described it would happen. So when Jesus, or a biblical prophet, prophesies what will happen in the distant future at the end of the age, you can trust him. This isn't like a Harold Camping prophecy. The second point I want to make is that though these biblical prophecies of the end of the world sound frightening, read carefully, because there's nothing but good news for you. For example, let's go back to the prophecy from Daniel 12. It mentions the archangel Michael, a name that doesn't come up too often. But Michael is an important angelic figure in Scripture. He's sort of like Gabriel, another archangel who brings news. Gabriel announces to Mary that she'll have a baby, for example. Michael's role in Scripture is always as a defender of God's people. And on the last day, Michael will be present. That's a good sign. And though it will be a time of trouble, Daniel's prophecy makes it clear that those whose names are written in the book of life will be delivered from trouble. So is your name written in the book of life? Well, have you been baptized? Or in other words, born again? That's what baptism is, according to Jesus. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you have faith that his blood shed on the cross paid the penalty for your sins? According to Mark 16, verse 16, that's all it takes. Whoever believes and is baptized. What about your faith? Don't worry if your faith is weak and wavering. With faith as small as a tiny mustard seed, you could say to a mountain, "Be thrown into the sea," and it would happen. Matthew 17. The point is, whatever faith God has given you is adequate. You can't conjure up faith on your own. If you need more, he'll give it to you. You going to heaven is something God accomplishes, not something you accomplish. You know, for many of us, these biblical prophecies about the end of the world or the prophecies of Jesus returning can be unsettling. Our scripture readings today talk about the future, and the future is often a frightening prospect for a lot of us. There are things we're afraid that might happen, we're afraid they might not happen. But I hope you walk out of here not filled with fear, but filled with more peace. Because no matter what the future brings, you're a forgiven and loved child of God. Forgiven not because of anything you've done, but forgiven because of what Jesus has done for you. Regardless of your sin and your failure, God sees you as if you're perfect, just as Jesus is perfect. The point being, you can have faith in the future. You can be confident that God holds your life in His hands, and He promises to somehow, some way, create good for you out of every circumstances, even the worst of circumstances. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your great compassion and mercy and love for us, Your people. Lord, help us to grasp what You have done for us, sending Jesus to atone for our sin and welcoming us, despite our sinfulness, welcoming us as forgiven and redeemed people into heaven someday. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.